Blog Talk Radio.
Woohoo! Welcome everybody to Standing on My Soapbox. We have no introduction yet because this year's didn't come in. How y'all doing out there? This is Standing on My Soapbox, our weekly call-in show. Giggling in the background is my special guest co-host today, Mr. Michael Vega. How the heck are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. We're on season 3 of the show. I can't believe we're 3 years into this already.
Well,
and it's fun
congratulations.
To talk a little, thank you. Talk a little pop culture here, a little LGBT news, and throw some politics in. If you guys want to call in at home and talk to Michael or myself or just talk about what's going on in the world right now, you can give us a call at 347-989-0126. Don't be shy. We'll see you in there. How have you been, my friend? How was your summer?
I'm doing quite well. Summer was good, you know, a lot of work, and just celebrated a birthday last week, which was a lot of fun. It was laid kind of low, but then, you know, friends insisted on taking me out the days following. So, yeah, a good time was had by all. And no, I'm not revealing my age because, you know.
A lady never reveals her age, so neither of us were
exactly.
Safe.
Well, see, I didn't want to finish that. And, oh, my God, there's a gorgeous butterfly about to land on me. It's a great day.
See, it has good taste. I like that butterfly.
Or just maybe just loves my cologne. I don't know. It loves my fragrance.
Well, congratulations and happy birthday. I'm so happy to have you as our my very first special co-host. And I think we're going to arrange it to hear from you a little more often this year in season 3 because we just love everything you have to say.
Hey, I love that. I'm excited.
Me too. Well, again, talk about summer. I mean, did you get to go anywhere? Any big acting auditions come up or anything exciting happen?
I did not really go anywhere. I mean, it was my intention throughout the summer to head north. You know, I spent about 8 years in San Francisco where I did a lot of theater.
Right.
And, you know, I just kept planning something. And it just, you know, never fell through with schedules and friends. And because when I go up there, I really want to see – you know, the people I love, and that's where a lot of my best friends are. And so, but when schedules don't line up, it's like, well, you know, what's the point in going up if I can't see everybody? So I think we're going to push that little trip to October. You know, this summer's just been about getting myself reorganized and getting ready to get back out there. You know, sometimes you need to sit back and take stock of what's going on and you know, reprioritize and what have you.
Sure, and after
plus,
it's been
darn hot,
yourself,
and
I
haven't been
that.
I haven't wanted to get out of my apartment. It's been so hot here.
Oh, I heard about that. I can't believe the heat you guys have been having. Good friend of the show, Ann Walker, lives up in those hills where you had all that fire. I think it was like 3 blocks from our home. That was scary stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you know, I always laugh a little bit when people in L.A. complain about the weather because it's never too hot and it's never too cold. But I will say the heat for a couple of weeks there was just really oppressive.
Oh, it's the same here in Northeast Ohio, my friend. My mom and I are already bitching that the trees have turned color too fast and the leaves are going to be gone. We have about 4 months of tree season here anymore. It's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, I am thankful there that, you know, there are people in other parts of the world and other parts of the country dealing with extreme weather. So I am very thankful that I haven't had to deal with that. And my, you know, my heart goes out to them. But, you know, enough already.
I mean,
with the crazy
weather going on down there, of course, Key West being a huge mecca for our LGBT community and Orlando and so many places in Florida. And then Houston is just a great area, too. It's been hard for allies and LGBT community alike with the weather. It's just been crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I am – my family's from Puerto Rico, so, you know, we were very worried about that. And I do have a lot of family, you know, a few dozen family members in Orlando. So that's been a familial concern. Fortunately, you know, Puerto Rico wasn't hit as hard as some of the other islands, but, you know, it's still scary stuff.
Oh, I'm glad the family's okay. I told a story on the other show, Left the Straight Show, the other day, that we have my third cousin. It's my first cousin's daughter's son was born, and she lives in Puerto Rico. My first cousin lives in Puerto Rico right now. She's been there for about, I think, 18 years. But her daughter had her son down during this hurricane this past weekend. Was supposed to go into labor like Thursday. Didn't. They induced and went C-section on Friday to kind of beat the storm. And then he didn't stay in the hospital anymore for even C-section, it seems. So they kind of kicked her out on her way for the storm thing. And so they left the storm down there. They were in southern Florida. And then they went up to Jacksonville. Of course, then Jacksonville flooded on them. So they've had no luck whatsoever. The baby's going to have a story to say for the rest of his life. Jeez. Crazy
I actually
stuff.
Have a funny C-section story. My mother loves this one. So, you know, when I was conceived, I put my mother through 36 hours of labor, which she was, we laugh about it. So that's why I'm laughing. Nobody think that I'm being insensitive. She laughs about it too. Yeah. For 36 hours, she's eating ice chips, and she was due to give birth at 8 a.m. on the 4th of September. And I popped out at 7:49. And I always say I blame her for creating such a comfortable environment. That's why.
Oh, that's funny. I love that. All right, well, let's get into it and let's spin the wheel here a bit. Again, if you want to call in, if you have topics of your own you want to share with us, or if you want to chime in on something Michael and I are talking about, give us a call right here on the radio station, 347-989-0126. You'll be able to hear the show where you're on hold, and we'll get to you just as soon as we can. Don't be shy. Spin the wheel, Michael. You want to go into politics, pop culture, some LGBT news? What's in the mood to talk about today?
Oh, Lord, let's go light first. Let's go pop culture.
Pop culture. Well, this is a big question I have for you because you know this person, and I just read this the other day. Billy Francesca, he comes into your bar that you work at the time quite a bit, right?
Yeah. He hosts on Sunday afternoons now. For
okay, well, you
got
to get me in touch with him, and I just found this the other day. He has a new show that's on Grindr called What the Flip. Has he talked about that with you at all?
No, I mean, we don't, you know, he's neck deep in Kettle One on Sunday by the time I get in there. So we don't get a chance to talk that much, but, you know, just little funny jabs here and there. But I heard about that. I mean, I don't have Grindr myself. I don't do the sort of online app, just by choice. No judgment on that. But I have heard about that, and I will ask him about it.
It's pretty interesting. I had not heard about it before because I, too, do not go on Grindr. Like you said, I'm not shaming Grindr people, but it's just not something that I use. But they have a five-part series now called What the Flip, where they're having people flip their profiles, which is like becoming interesting as hell social experience. The first one they've put out now has an Asian and a white guy flipping profiles. And just the differences you see are kind of amazing by the responses they get. Kind of shows all that, what their feelings are. It's kind of a cool show.
Interesting. Because what I will say about it, and that's very interesting that he's doing that, you know, when it first came out several years ago, I downloaded it and figured, what the heck? And what I found and what I didn't like was the repartee between people was just kind of mean. It was my experience. It was just very mean-spirited, you know, comments back and forth. And I was like, well, okay, that's not why I'm on here. So, you know, fare thee well.
I mean, it's very interesting because, like I said, there's so much Grindr has different things for different people, obviously. But it's just kind of a social experience in and of itself for the LGBT community. But then you do these gender flips or these profile or race flips, it can be some interesting conversation starters.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine, actually. I have a friend.
Like I said, that's the first one. I guess there's five more to come. So you're going to have to
put really?
In touch.
Okay.
And, you'll have to shove something down his top there or something so he'll remember it the next day.
I have a friend that lives in New York, and he likes to do screen captures and post them on Facebook of some of his interactions. And I've told him, oh, my God, why do you put these up? But some of the things people say to each other, like, why are you even on here? I mean, is the point just, you know, to take, you know, jabs at each other? Or, you know, it's just so odd to me.
It is. It's a crazy type thing. apps are good for a lot of people. I don't understand them myself. And technology is good, but there's so much. Ever since I watched that damn MTV Catfish, I'm just scared anymore to put a profile out there.
Yeah. I should ask, because I'm friends with one of the gentlemen that created the app. I mean, he's no longer part of the company, but I'm interested to talk to him about what we've been talking about.
That's a great idea. We should bring him on. I actually interviewed him. I think he's starting to do films now and investing in films and stuff, isn't he?
You mean Scott Llewellyn, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. He's
well,
getting into making films.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll put it out there.
Nice. Well, let's move into a big congratulations to RuPaul. Won her second Emmy for hosting an outstanding game. It's under game show is what Drag Race is under, just because it's a contestant-based thing. But won second Creative Arts Emmy. That's kind of cool to have our community out in the Emmys sphere again.
Yeah, I think it won a host. And editing and costuming, I believe.
Well, costuming should have been a slam dunk, right?
I know there was a little bit of and I don't know the full details yet, but both Raven and Delta Work got their nominations rescinded.
Ooh, you're kidding.
And I haven't been able to talk to Raven, lately. But, here's what I... and postulating is that they weren't actually doing that job on the show for enough episodes to qualify, even though they pushed for the nomination. So I think that may have something to do with it, but I'm not completely sure.
I got you. Sure. I understand that.
But
I feel terrible
for Raven because, you know, he was the runner up on All Stars and also on his season and then an Emmy nominee. And now, having it rescinded, it's like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, talk about going to the ball and never being picked to dance. That's pathetic.
Right? Always a bridesmaid.
There you go. Well, that's just so cool. I mean, RuPaul won against Jane Lynch, who's always so good, and all those other people. Then this Sunday is the telecast of the main Emmy categories, and the show is still up for Best Game and Variety Series, so it may even win, and it has not won an Emmy for that yet, so that could be kind of interesting to see what happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you an award show person? Do you like going to those things?
I love award shows. I always have. It's funny, when I was really young, it was one of the only nights of the year my mother would let me stay up ridiculously late, because, I mean, my favorite award show, of course, is the Oscars. Back then, they weren't so strict on time. So they would go 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and it would be midnight on the East Coast before it was over. So as a young man, for my mother to let me stay up, I'm, you know, very thankful for that.
Nice. Now, did you
I guess she knew.
I don't know if you did it when you first moved to L.A. or not. Did you ever try to or want to do the seat filler stuff?
No, I have not tried that. But I do plan on going to the SAGs this coming year. I don't know if you know, I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild, and I always get to vote for, you know, the final awards. But this year I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this, but nominations committee, and that's all I can really say about that. So I'm gonna probably go to the award show. I mean, you still have to buy a ticket, and they're not inexpensive, that's for sure. But, I plan on going to that.
Woohoo! Well, congratulations on that position, even though you never said it. We didn't hear about it, but yeah, it's a secret.
And no one has any influence on my decisions.
There you go. No, I used to go as a seat filler when I was living in L.A. I had a good friend mm-hmm. that organized a lot of the different award shows and did a lot of seat filling. And for me, it was fun just to meet the celebrities, but I've heard a lot of actors and actresses do it because you get to sit next to some really cool people and maybe make a contact too. But I remember I sat next to some really powerhouses in different award shows, but my favorites were always, remember
yep.
they used to have the comedy awards on TV?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was my favorite award show to go because it was kind of like the Golden Globes, which I never got to go to, but there was food and drinks at the table, so everyone's kind of getting sloshed a little bit. And I got to sit at Saturday Night Live table 1 year. I got to sit at I just got to sit some incredible people. Then they're drinking, and they don't know who you are, so they don't care what they're saying, and it's pretty hilarious.
I mean,
it's a lot of fun.
I should just go and just buck up and spend the money. I mean, the tickets could be upwards to like $800-$900 to go, which is not cheap change. That's for sure.
Not at all. No. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I think I told you, but my party that you were one of my guests of honors at when I was in LA last April, Kevin Allen Scott, who is a good friend of the show, been on the show and with Terry Ray and his play Electricity and everything, he brought me this year's Oscar program. He actually went to the Oscars and he gave me his program.
Wow.
It's
nice,
amazing.
Nice.
I think it's like a real book with full color pictures of everything, and it's incredible. I have it on my special shelf here at home. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this past telecast, someone was able to, after the fact, brought in somebody's Oscar. I won't say who or who brought it in, but, they brought it into the bar, and, we got to – only a couple of us got to handle it, but
– nice.
I'm
getting a scoop on that, dang it.
I've held an Emmy, but, that was the first time for an Oscar.
Yeah, a big shout out to, I don't know if you're a fan of the show, but I'm a huge fan of The Summertime, So You Think You Can Dance. And Travis Wall won another Emmy last night, or Saturday night, too. So big shout out to him. I love that show.
Oh, excellent. Yes. I am a fan of the show. I don't watch it regularly. Because there's so much on, and I can't, make the time for, everything that's streaming on between Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and
it's crazy anymore. You're right, 100%.
Yeah, I'm
Travis's dance is always
streaming.
Just hit you in the nuts, man. They're always so powerful, and it's I love watching it. So big congratulations to him. I had on Nick Lazzarini from So You Think You Dance on the Left or Straight show last season. And I think dancers are the most amazing people in the world. What they can do with their bodies and the rhythm, it's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. Such control, such focus. I mean, I would do well by taking a class or so too.
I'm sure you have some moves, my friend.
Oh yeah, I could do the running man with a cabbage patch.
A little bit included in it for some LGBT news. I read the other day because I had Stan Zimmerman on for my first guest on Monday, and of course he used to write for Everything That's Anything, Golden Girls and Gilmore Girls and Roseanne. So I tried to get some Roseanne scoop, and I guess
Alexander
is going to have a gender creative kid on this reboot coming out for mid season.
Oh wow, gender creative.
Gender creative. What has been said is Darlene. They're all in the regular years, 18 years past, whatever. Darlene's supposed to have a teenage daughter and a 4-year-old son, who's gender creative and likes to wear women's clothes on occasion. I guess I was always wondering what they're going to do with her character. But I think that's kind of interesting. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I've just never heard the term gender creative, but. Yeah, that's
I think
amazing.
That's the PG way to say it when you're talking about primetime TV.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even give it that consideration. We're so accustomed to the streaming stuff where we don't have to hold back.
Exactly. But yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, there's so much great LGBT representation on TV anymore. I'm glad to see that they're actually starting to use some LGBT actors in these. I don't know if you're a huge Star Trek fan, but of course we have Wilson Cruz and
I know Wilson.
There you
in
go,
fact,
Wilson, and from Rent.
Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam something or another.
Exactly. They are playing. Same gendered lovers on the new Star Trek. They are both officers on the new Star Trek and playing a couple together. So I think that's a huge huge step forward in LGBT and TV. I think it's going to be a great season this year. Have you heard anything about any other LGBT characters or anything that you're interested in looking at?
Nothing. Well, I'm getting a leaf blower coming near me, so I'm going to escape to another part of the patio. Sorry.
No problem.
They are the bane of my existence, leaf blowers. I just
Keeping the complex nice and clean for you.
I do not understand leaf blowers. You can rake it. So you don't have to use gasoline to blow them around anyway. I am so in the middle of catching up on older stuff. Like I'm not like right
you
now.
You work
I'm,
nights a lot too in between gigs though, so that's hard for you.
I do, yeah, I do, and you know, and then during the days, you know, whether it's an audition or I'm in something, or you know, it takes a lot of time. Right now, I'm next. That was off a of Showtime years ago, but you know, I'm just trying to play catch up.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be a great season for me. I was talking to my friend the other day. They're starting to do stuff. So matter of fact, it's kind of cool. I've been watching this summer show called Salvation on CBS, and it's really cool. It has a couple of my favorite actors in it, but the point was they had this Secretary of Defense. The Secretary of Defense for the United States has been this kind of a mean character through it the whole way through until two episodes ago. Turns out, and everyone kind of thought he was the bad guy, and it turns out he was a bad guy, but not for the main bad guy. But anyway, so he's trying to get the heck out of Dodge because he's been found out that he's in trouble and all this, been fired, and they have a scene at his house, packing up his house, and all of a sudden his husband comes out and says, Gary, we got to get out of here. And he says, well, me and my husband have to leave. And just so matter of fact, I thought it was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. They didn't really have to telegraph it. It was just a matter of fact thing. And that's kind of cool. What I'd like to see on TV in the future.
Yeah, that's a breath of fresh air because, I mean, you know, there was a time where it was such a big deal. Like, say, Roseanne, the kiss and everything. It was, you know, a moment of shock. And I'm glad, you know, happy to hear that it's becoming as it should be in life. You know, it's just two people.
Exactly. Love is love, boys and girls. Love is love.
Exactly. Yeah, speaking of Stan and Roseanne, Alexander and I are going to see his show. I think it's a preview tomorrow. I don't think – maybe Friday's the opening, but tomorrow's the preview, his latest play.
Oh, that's
here.
Nice with Melissa Peterman and everything. Oh, and
yes,
the girl from Hairspray.
Yeah.
Heartbreak.
Yes,
I think it's called
night.
Heartbreak Help or something. How exciting.
Yeah, something like that.
You will
yeah,
have
I'm looking
to
forward to
back.
It. His last one, his last show was really funny. The one that Mindy Sterling was in.
I got to see that one. That was Dear Virginia or
Yes
Virginia.
Yes.
That
Virginia.
Was so
yeah, exactly.
Great. I think that's coming back. He says it's probably going to come back because it is kind of centered around New Year's Christmas time. I think he's going to try to launch it again this year too. But that was a beautiful
okay.
show. Mindy Sterling. I mean, speaking of Emmy, she was. She canceled herself out this past week. I'm so disappointed for her. She got her first Emmy nominations. First time she's nominated for Emmy, and she's nominated twice in the exact same category. And I think it's
because
of the vote. So she lost to Jane Lynch. So I was so sorry for her because she deserves it so much. She's such an amazing actress. And in that play, we saw the Dear or Yes Virginia, when she's jamming around in her bra and panties there going down the stairs. Thought I was going to bust a gut. She's hilarious.
And it's also, I mean, her nomination was also a good thing for like Tello Films, you know, to bring them to the forefront, which was great.
Exactly. And for Conman too, Conman's regular web series too, which I love. And
yeah,
so she was nominated for both of those. And Tello Films, like you said, is such a great new outlet for LGBT theater, primarily lesbian situation. They have a whole new content coming all the time, but it was a great straw in the hat for them. I think it was the first time an LGBT production company has ever been nominated for an Emmy, so that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's sad but true. It does give a you know, legitimizes the outlet a little bit more than you know, it would without the nomination.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break. We're going to play a little bit of my good buddies Brandon and James. This is their Hotel California. I'm just in the mood for the Eagles today. So you're listening to Standing on My Soapbox with our special guest co-host, actor and radio personality Michael Vega. If you have anything you've heard you want to talk about or any topics of your own, please give us a call, 347-989-0126. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Back to the place I was before. Relax.
are back. That's our good friend Brandon and James, always touring the country. I think they're in Santa Fe right now. They were in Florida last month and on a cruise ship the month before that. But if you go to brandonandjames.com, you can check out their tour schedule. They're probably coming to a city near you sometime this year. They are always on the road. Guys, we're talking to my great friend and special co-host, Michael Vega, actor and radio host extraordinaire out there in California. How's everything else,
hello,
Michael?
Hello.
Are we doing okay there?
We are. It's a beautiful day. Nice and modern. I'm out on my patio. So
are we surviving the great leaf blower incident of 2017?
Yeah. I don't even know what he might have been blowing. I mean, I couldn't really see him. I could just hear it.
We can only hope if it's something you can hear. Goodness gracious, let's not go there. Crazy times. Well, we lost Michael for a second. He's going to call back in just a couple seconds here. We got a lot more topics to talk about. If you want to join the conversation here, please give us a call. Of course, this is live on Wednesday, September 13th, from 2 to 3 Pacific time and from 5 to 6 Eastern time. That's when we're taking live calls. Please do us a favor. Give us a call in here at 347-989-0126. We'll be here every Wednesday. We'll be a new Standing on My Soapbox show with different co-hosts each week. Michael's going to be a recurring co-host for us this season, which I'm so excited about. And I think we have him back on the line. That leaf blower tripped you up, didn't he? He blew right into your phone.
Oh, I just had a call fail. I think it was after talking about the leaf blowers. They have it in for me, I think.
There you go. See what happens? Yeah, it's never fun when a blow doesn't go the right way, right? Oops. Wait. What are we talking about here? Hold on.
They're going to change. You're going to blow me. Do it how I want you to.
Be careful. Love it. All right. What do we have going on? Also, in LGBT news, I thought was kind of interesting. Do you know who Armie Hammer is, the actor?
Yes, of course. He was in that. What was that Facebook movie?
The Social Media, right?
Yes, that was it.
He is a fantastic actor, very easy to look at on the eyes. He is in a new LGBT theme movie coming out. It's been playing the film festivals all summer long. I talked about it before we went on hiatus. It's a movie called Call Me By My Name, where Armie plays a 25-year-old young man. He's a writer or something, exploring this one town, and the 17-year-old boy shows him around, and they end up having a connection and a little thing together. So it's supposed to be a fantastic movie coming out at a theater near you now, but you know James Woods, right?
Yes, of course. Oh, yes, I read about his little rant. I mean, can I use PG-13 language here? What a prick.
Of course.
When he talks about pedophilia, I mean, is that an ideal? I mean, 17 is, you know, of legal consent. I mean, not that I would ever, you know, be involved with a 17-year-old, but for him to go that route, you know, to make it so extreme. I mean, technically, we are still adolescents until 25. I just can't. I'm just foaming at the mouth that he would take that, you know.
It is so frustrating. Route. I used to admire him so much as an actor. I mean, as an actor, James Woods has been in some excellent things. If you look past his resume, but he's turned into this right-wing wackadoo the last couple of years. He had gotten a Twitter war with Neil Patrick Harris a while back over a young boy whose parents let him dress up as a girl for this Pride Festival, and he tried to attack the young boy on there. Neil Patrick Harris took him to task. Now with this movie with the Call Me By Your Name, exactly what you were saying, he's saying, oh, this is just another rip in our fabric of society, and he hashtagged NAMBLA, N-A-M-B-L-A, who is something that the LGBT community doesn't even support. And he's just being a real sick perv of the whole thing.
Yeah. And you know what? If the relationship was turned, if it was the 25-year-old guy and the 17-year-old girl, I bet you he wouldn't have anything to say.
Well, that's the big thing too, is like he tweeted this out, and that's my favorite thing so far. Army tweeted back to him, well, James, thanks for the input, but aren't you the 60-year-old that dated the 19-year-old young girl and the 72-year-old that dated the 20-year-old? Called him out, which he did. He did both those things.
Yeah.
At 60, I think at 65 and at 70, he dated 19 and 20-year-olds. So I thought that was a great comeback by Army. And then Amber Tamblyn, I don't know if you know who she is, but she was one of my favorite actresses from Joan of Arcadia, of course, and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. She shot back on Twitter that, yeah, I remember James Wood. When I was 16, he tried to pick me and my girlfriend up and ask us to go to Canada. You told me you're only 16. He says, better yet. So it's like, pot, hello, this is the kettle. I hate that. I hate people that are that just ridiculous.
The hypocrisy. I mean, 17 is above the age of consent, and it's a movie. It's just, and like I said, he
would
have nothing to say if the 17-year-old was a girl.
That reminds me, speaking of Twitter and politics, did you see that whole big Ted Cruz kerfuffle the other day?
I heard about it. And the thing is, he doesn't just have to like it, doing it. And, I mean, not that I care. I mean, so what? You know, we all watch porn. But, you know, if you're a political figure, if you're that much of a public figure, you might want to be a little bit more careful about your public profiles.
Exactly. If you didn't hear about it, it's so funny. I mean, he's this big, of course, LGBT is bad and Christian is good, and he tried to condemn sex toys and all this other stuff. But he's caught on his Twitter feed liking bisexual sex sites, and the Twitterverse went crazy. It was like 330,000 tweets that got it trending in the first 3 hours. It was amazing. Like I said, whatever
I mean,
vote, I don't care. I'm all for anyone to do whatever they're into. But just I love when hypocrisy gets called out like that on social media.
Oh, and it could be called out on just about everyone. I mean, just follow, you know, follow the right path. You know, anybody who is so vehement about, you know, putting another group of people down, you know, it's no doubt it comes from a place, you know, that they want to hide.
Right,
I believe
and Pat
that
Robertson,
wholeheartedly.
True to his bigoted self, of course, he's all saying the floodwaters are not going to stop and the hurricanes are not going to stop until homosexuals stop having gay sex. That's what he said over the hurricanes.
Wait, so should heterosexuals stop having anal sex too?
I guess that's okay. I guess he got a pass from God on that. He got a hall pass.
Because I know firsthand a lot of my girlfriends who take it up the booty. So
that's some of the biggest straight gay porn out there. When they can do that, the guys go crazy.
Exactly. So okay, it's just man on man booty sex. So, okay, got it.
Crazy. Well, we're going to politics.
Speaking of LGBT,
yesterday of an icon, he's a late in life icon of that. Edie Windsor passed away yesterday, 88 years old. If you don't know of Edie Windsor, shame on you. We're going to start teaching everyone LGBT history here on the show. But Edie Windsor was the one that brought about marriage equality across the land here in the U.S. She sued the U.S. government and the Defense of Marriage Act in court and got that overturned because her and her wife that she legally married in Canada, when her wife passed away, she was responsible for $367,000 worth of taxes on her wife's estate that she would not have to pay if they were a legally married couple in the U.S. And that was one of the things, along with Jim Obgerfield, that brought marriage equality across the lane. It was her lawsuit that helped bring that across. So she passed away at 88, and a big hats off to her, man.
Oh, that's I'm sorry to hear that, and I am familiar, but 88, she had no doubt a good life, and it really made a wonderful impact while she was here. So rest in peace.
Yeah, she did. I think she's going to go down as one of, one of our LGBT icons. It happened late in life for her, but good on her for doing the good fight and making it through that, because we all know those court cases can take forever, and marriage equality changed a lot faster than I ever thought it was going to be, and she was partly the part of that cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of LGBT, before it escapes my head, there is a LGBT film festival in Palm Springs beginning next Thursday. And Alexander and I on the Rocks radio show will be down there covering that. I'll just be there for the opening,
great.
But Alexander will actually be there all week with the show.
On your hot radar yet, or are you going to wait till you get down there and check them all out?
Well, there's only certain films being played on certain days, but the one I'm looking forward to see is, and why the name escapes me, but it's Armistead Maupin's is involved with it, so, and he'll be there, so I'm interested in, we're Facebook friends, but I've never met him in person, so I'm really interested in meeting him.
Oh, that would be amazing. Speaking of icons,
Armistead
man, that
Tales
guy
of the
is
City,
literally
Tales
giant
of the
in
City.
The LGBT world as well as just literature in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited about that.
That'll be fantastic. A nice little Palm Springs run for you and Alexander. That's great. On the Rocks,
a,
been doing
a quick one. Nothing,
so
nothing too
Alexander.
Crazy.
It's just moving and shaking, all the fun things you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, if I could stay for the whole weekend, I would. But you know, that would be a bit much. And plus, you know, I have an old girl here at home who needs her daddy.
Oh, there you go.
My pug. She's getting up there. My pug was 15 in February, and so
really,
I mean,
wow.
she's spunky. Yeah, and I've had her since she was 6 weeks old, and so. You know, it's kind of tough to see the health. I mean, her health isn't bad, but you know, she doesn't hear so well and she doesn't see so well, and she's a little limpy because she, you know, pugs get a little hip thing when they get older, and it's hard to watch. But you know, I also don't want to leave her, you know, at this time in her life because I don't know how much more time I will have with her.
Oh, I love that though. That's so, man. 15 years, was that New York too, or is that all San Francisco?
That was all San Francisco. Well, actually, me and my ex-husband moved out of New York City after September 11th. And for some strange reason, we spent a year in Tucson, Arizona, and that's where we got her. And then we moved to San
Aww.
Francisco a year later. So, yeah.
And you won custody. That's so cool.
There was no question on that. upper tier of pug lives are supposed to be 15 years, and she's exceeded that already. So I'm like, shoot, go, girl.
Oh, good for her. That is so awesome to hear. Well, yeah, you got to get back and take care of you when every precious moment you can. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the opposite side, let's go to stay in politics for just a little bit. Judge Roy Moore, if you have not heard the name, Jeff Sessions, who is our now Attorney General, gave up his Senate seat in Alabama to be number 45's Attorney General. I don't want to say his name. We'll say number 45's Attorney General. So he gave up his Alabama Senate seat. So it's been a runoff here. And the cast of characters replaces is just amazing to begin with. But the front runner right now is Judge Roy Moore. If you don't remember who Judge Roy Moore is, he was first chastised and sanctioned from the bench. He was the main Supreme Court judge for the state of Alabama. And he was first censored because of the Ten Commandments statute. When that was a big controversy, they were asked to be removed in a lot of courthouses, which was either here or there. I didn't necessarily agree with that. But he refused to do it and got censured for that. And then 2 years ago, he was actually removed from the bench for refusing to have his clerks all over Alabama sign LGBT marriage certificates. He was the big bad, that girl from Arizona or whatever, for the entire state of Alabama who would not let marriage licenses happen, and they actually removed him from the bench for it. He is the front runner for this damn Senate seat. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. I'm at a loss for words.
It's just crazy.
When do we stop being the right-wing people?
I mean, Trump is supposed to be I'm going to be the best candidate president for LGBT you've ever seen, and so far we've lost our transgenders in the military. We're not signing. We're trying to get rid of DACA. There's 75,000 DACA dreamers in the world. Just every time you turn around, he's doing something against the LGBT, and now we have a state senator that's going to go in and has one of the worst LGBT records on record since Jesse Helms. And if you don't remember who he is,
here's the thing about
that,
though, you know, between the transgender ban and reversing DACA, I mean, yes, it is terrible for the LGBTQ community, but he's systematically just reversing anything and everything Obama did.
Yeah, that's
you know,
I
honestly don't believe the transgender ban was.
Obama,
I have something against transgenders. It was.
It only takes another swipe of the pen to erase everything he ever did.
Yeah, well, to me, just of course smacks of, you know, his completely racist mindset. You know, it put the cherry on the sundae for me when I read, and this was a few months back. And this may seem so random and minor, but it showed how petty, you know, he is. You know, when he reversed the ban where you can shoot hibernating bears. I know that seems so random and silly, but the fact that he took the time and the effort and had the mind to reverse something that shouldn't even be in question was just, oh, my God, this man is just a complete lunatic.
I think you're 100% right. I think he just wanted to undo everything he could to erase the memory of the last president to keep his name in there. And it's minor things he's turning over. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, of course, much more important than the one I mentioned, but that to me is a fine example of how petty, you know, and how low he's willing to stoop, that just anything and everything. You know, just
no. I think that's a great
point.
Get rid
of the legacy of one of the.
I don't even want to get started. Luckily, politics has been relatively calm the last week, except for those two things I mentioned. But it's going to be a bumpy road until we get rid of number 45, whether it be through something else or vote him out. Hopefully, in 4 years, if he gets voted in again, I'm just going to go ballistic. I can't believe it's not even been a full year yet. I feel like I've gone through 4 years in the last 8 months.
I know. I have gained so many more gray hairs.
horrible, horrible. All right, well, let's finish up here. We only have about 10 minutes left, and you were so kind to ask off air. We're going to talk about a new segment that I have going on the Left of Straight show called Transformation Tuesdays. Obviously not a new phrase. You've heard it said a jillion times before. But this is something we're going to be talking about over the next season from now until June on the Left of Straight show. Transformation Tuesdays is all about our identity in the LGBT community and health and fitness. And we're going to do a whole bunch of fun things with it. And Michael, you're such a great person to talk to because you're an actor. You've always kept yourself fit and healthy. I'm getting ready to go on this journey. What are your thoughts on, like, body image in the LGBT community? You see all this stuff going on as an actor. What is your kind of – what are your opening thoughts when we start this journey?
Well, I see it so much here, you know, in L.A., of course, you know, where surgery and Botox and everything is so terribly commonplace. You know, it's in every magazine. It's every, you know,
right.
So many people, it's part of their just regular regimen. I mean, it's not even perceived as something that's, I don't know, just out there. It's now just like going to the you know, and everybody's
right.
Doing it. And not me yet. Not me yet. But yeah, I mean, I just see so many people just so terribly. It's one thing to feel, you know, you want to be healthy and you want to feel good about yourself and whatever that takes, you know, so be it. But there's a lot of sort of body shaming and you know, which you know, ends up forcing people to make changes that they don't want to. And I just think people should to make changes to, you know, for themselves.
Exactly. And
not
it goes both ways. In the LGBT community, I mean, there's, if you're not that perfect sweet spot there, I mean, I've been a big guy always for a long time. Emerson Collins, good thing to show, and you know, out there, did the People's Coach, and he's out of producing. He loves wearing his little banana hammocks in the summer. He's a super thin guy. He's from that end. I mean, it's just no pleasing in the LGBT community sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to engage people all the time in a myriad of topics, and I often ask, you know, some of the younger members of my community, you know, when it comes to what they find attractive, blah blah blah, because I read a lot on, say, Facebook about, oh, I can't find a boyfriend, I can't blah blah blah, and so I'll ask them, so what are you looking for, and what I'll hear is, oh, I like a guy with a big chest, or I like a guy with big arms, and that makes my head explode, because it just says to me, okay, you're falling for body parts, and that's
right.
Not the way to find love, or, you know, it's a person, it's the soul, it's the brain, it's the, you know, big arms are not going to keep you comfy at night, you know, maybe for a few minutes, but, you know, that does not make a... And so I just wish there was the mindset would just sort of steer
exactly.
away from,
everyone
okay,
has preferences,
this is what,
and preferences are fine.
This is what
there's
I'm supposed
no
to be attracted to.
My goal in creating this series is, and I got to be quite honest, I mean, I've been comfortable being a big guy for a long time. I've been very lucky that, I mean, I was a thin guy all through high school, college. I had things that made me get bigger, and I'd taken it upon myself. But I've been fine with it for a long time because I was always healthy. I was able to do things I wanted to do. I was my levels have always been low as far as cholesterol, or triglycerides, and doing my blood pressure and things like that. That's all been great. Well, all of a sudden, I'm getting a little older now, right? And I didn't have insurance after I left and move back home and take care of my parents, which is what I do now as a home health care. And now that I have insurance again, I end up buying insurance. I'm on 8 pills a day. That's freaking ridiculous. And I think that's where my health goals have come in. I hate being a big guy, but I hate being unhealthy worse. At least before I was healthy and a big guy. Now I feel that I'm unhealthy. So this journey is going to help me, hopefully help listeners. We're going to have some great fitness trainers on. We're going to have some nutritionists on. We're going to talk about body image. We're going to have people like you on, and actors and people who have to go through the body image thing. But it's going to be an amazing year-long journey, and I'm excited to have you hopefully chime in on it from time to time.
Absolutely, and I'm so proud of you, and you know, I'll be with you there every step of the way.
I appreciate it. You know, I'm not one. I've been doing this now, Love This Rachel. We're on our third season, 2.5 years now, and I'm not one to show pictures very relevant. I've made a commitment. I'm going to start doing weekly pictures, and it's a scary time for me, but I think it's not going to just help me, but I think it's going to help a lot of people in our community out there, boys, girls, everybody, and it's going to be kind of an interesting journey. So I'm looking forward to doing that. It's going to be every Tuesday on the Left of Straight Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're probably going to do the segment in between the two interviews we have each day, show. So probably around 3 o'clock each time. Like I said, different. We have the great friend of the show, Brandon Roth. Yes, he's a great friend of yours, and you know he's super into fitness and starting his own fitness. He helped me kick it off yesterday. So proud of him, and I know he's a good friend of yours. So make sure you give him a big shout out for me.
Will do.
I'm very, very happy. We're going to have Josh Orozco next week, and different people. And Brandon's going to be kind of our continuing guy all the way through the series. We're going to have different people helping out. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope when we start talking again about body image for an entire segment, you come on and help us talk about that in Hollywood and how things like that go.
Because, hey, you know, you're taking care, you know, of your parents. And, you know, if you can't take care of yourself first, how are you going to take care of them? Right?
Great point.
I mean, like RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anyone else?
Great point. I love that. Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun segment, so be sure to tune in to Left to Straight Show. And then, like I said, we are going to be here every Wednesday. I'm going to be standing on my soapbox. We're going to talk about all sorts of things going on for the week in LGBT news and politics and in pop culture. Mike is going to be a special regular contributor for us. But thanks so much for tuning in, everyone, today. Michael, tell them where they can follow you on social media.
Facebook, it's just Michael Vega. And on the Twitter and Instagram, it's Michael Vega Act. So just my name and then the word act at the end.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you being on the first show of the new season here. We're going to have lots of fun together this year. I can't wait to see all the things coming in your life as far as auditions and all the things that your goals are. We'll be talking about all that as well. Stay on the line for me, and we're going to finish up today with a little bit of Sam Harris, My Reclamation, talking about taking ourselves back over here. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
When the river is too wide to cross, and the water is raging too fast, when we see the destination but cannot make our way, we will build a bridge of brotherhood and cross the river at last. When the air is cold and black with hate, and the fog of condemnation burns our eyes, when the shadows of oppression keep us hidden from the sun, you can climb upon my shoulders until we reach the skies. For it is not enough to want and need it, and deserving doesn't make it true. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Take a stand, demand justice over you. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you, or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. I am weary of hostility, and I am saddened by the ugliness of fear. I'm confounded by morality that builds a bitter wall, but I will bear my heart to you so all the world will hear that it is not enough to want and need it, just to forward and to lead. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Rejoice the charge, take our voices to the street. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. This is my reclamation.
Shine.